welcome to Hot Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast. We haunted attraction, haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just playing, we aim to be a podcast. We are returning once again with the longstanding tradition of finding people who are smarter than us to talk about things. Mm-hmm. And you've seen him on this podcast before. He's been around. The amazing Jake's Palace is here on the line this week. Creator, owner, proprietor of the Lost Souls of Chicago Bus Haunted Bus Tour. I always get those words out of order for some reason. And haunt actor extraordinaire, haunt actor trainer extraordinaire, most importantly. That's why he's here today. He's going to be sharing some tips and some ideas and suggestions for actor recruitment and actor training in the midst of all this COVID-y stuff.
Yes, and if you're watching us on Face Live, you actually get to see him this
time.
Yes,
well, maybe. Our bandwidth is trash. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, the live recording might be better.
You know, I have no idea what that's about. Our bandwidth is garbage. We're dropping frames insanely much. So I don't know what that's about. But before we go with the interview, we do have one small programming note, and that is I have been talking recently about creating like a COVID-19 quarantine resource page on HauntWeekly.com. I finally did it.
Yes.
See, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. There's no need to remind me every 6 weeks. I'll do it.
It takes a while.
There's no need to remind me every 6 weeks. I will do it. And, yeah, I got it done. It is actually, if you go to hauntweekly.com/COVID-19, that's there. We're also at hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly on Twitter, mm-hmm. hauntweekly on Facebook, and, of course, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. Finally, as always, find us Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, where else is all pod? Podbean, Podspace, Pod People, all those places.
Yes.
All right, but no, like I said, this is an important episode because we have once again the great Jake's Palace here to discuss COVID-19 and most importantly, actor recruitment and training. This is going to be a season like no other.
Yes.
Go ahead, what do you?
But he does have a programming note also.
Oh, yes, Japes, I apologize. Yes, you do have a programming note, please.
Quite all right. I wanted to take time to kind of send a little shout-out to my friend Mike Crone. Car Mike has been a haunter for a very long time. I've known him for about 15 years. I met him back at Dream Reapers back in the day. Who just recently passed away. So this one is a big hit. Mike was very, very well respected and well loved in the Chicagoland haunt community. He's the owner operator of, Blood Brood, FX. They do a lot of really cool, props and stuff like that, kind of focusing a lot on bone art. More importantly, you know, he was a really good friend of mine. He was part of my Lego group, my Nerd Night group. We get together and play, build Legos and play board games and drink whiskey and stuff like that. So this is a big loss, and we just wanted to give a shout out to him and kind of memorialize him here.
Well,
yeah, and I've seen a lot of love going out to his family and friends.
Yes, indeed.
People saying basically what you did, that he was a very good guy and a big loss for the industry.
Yeah, and I just got to say, it's awesome that there is a such thing as a Lego group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds absolutely amazing. and now I need to make I did not know I needed a Lego group, but I think I need a Lego group.
Yeah, no, it's good times. Good times. We were just going back and forth. There's a new haunted house set that just came out. And this one is actually not a haunted house. It's a haunted attraction. It's a ride.
Ooh.
So we were all really looking forward to this one. But nobody in the group has been able to get it. So we gotta try to get it and build it. We'll probably engrave it with Mike's name.
Very cool. Oh, maybe we can see if Ellie is able to get it. She has some ends that a lot of people don't have. She has ways of getting weird Lego sets.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Maybe something to talk with her about. But yes, obviously, I mean, all encompassing in our lives right now.
Right.
So you wanted to, you said in your notes you wanted to kick this off with some understandings, and I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah, I think it's important that when we're talking about coronavirus, there's a lot of different viewpoints on the impact or the severity or the importance or the realness of coronavirus. So, you know, I guess I want to start this off with just you know, kind of acknowledging the fact that in order to discuss any of this, we have to have one mutual understanding, and that is that coronavirus is real. And that it needs to be taken seriously. So I think it's really important that we kind of get that right out of the way. But also,
yeah,
it's important to acknowledge that, like, this thing is still pretty young, you know, and our understanding of the virus is really limited. Every day there's new information coming out, and, you know, so our understanding can change really quickly. So I think it's really important that, you know, I guess I've heard a lot of different podcasts talking about it. And what I'm planning for in this is really, like, if we were to open tomorrow, what would have to be done? What it's going to look like in October may be completely different. So I think it's really important that we just kind of understand that, like, we've got to, you know, I'm hoping that I can give some general tips and ideas that will, no matter what the situation, they won't change. But some of the things are very specific to right now. You know, I don't know that in 6 months, or I'm sorry, in how many months now? Till October?
Four or five months.
You know, I don't know that we're going to have to be 6 feet away. You know, we don't know. So those, you know, we have to understand that these things are changing constantly. So it's really important that as actors and managers that we're really keeping an eye on this and understanding the situation as best as we can. And then, I didn't complete my thought here, it looks like. But if you as an owner and haunt, you know, an owner or haunt operator can't make the safety precautions, if you can't afford it, because, you know, I know I've heard about a lot of haunts that are talking about putting sanitation stations all over the place and, you know, giving masks to people that don't have them and all that. Like, if you can't take the appropriate safety precautions, please don't open this year. Please don't open this year. Like, we have to take this seriously, and we need to make sure that it's safe for customers. We need to make sure it's safe for our teams, for our actors, for our crew. And I think, you know, one thing that I've heard, you know, Brett Hayes and Alan Hopps talk about a lot, and I try to talk about as frequently as possible. And I think a thing that a lot of little haunts miss is that if something stupid happens at your haunt because you didn't take care of the precautions, that reflects on our entire industry. That reflects on every single haunt. And when one thing goes wrong at your haunt, the inspectors, whoever's looking, is going to start looking even harder at everybody else. So it just takes one person to ruin it for everybody.
See the Six Flags fire for further proof on that.
Right, and that's one of the big worries I have, because I'm in a lot of home haunter groups on Facebook and things, because we're home haunters, and they're all talking about, yeah, we're going to be bigger and better than ever, and I'm like, no, because you're going to get us shut down. You know, this will be your last year if you do that. You don't understand.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, it's just, we have to remember that this is, it's an industry, but it's a very small industry, and like, you know, I can point out to a whole bunch of different instances where one person does something wrong, and then all of a sudden, you know, the fire marshals are coming into everybody else's place, or, you know, the building inspectors are coming into everybody else's place, and a lot of times the reaction is a larger safety precaution than what was there in the first place. And it's going to make it harder and harder for people to operate. So if you can't do at least the basics, then please don't open. You know, that's really
important.
I agree with that.
And then I guess my final understanding that we have to have here is my expertise, you know, in terms of being an actor manager or, you know, running crews of haunted house people, whatever. I have a lot of experience, but I've never done this during a pandemic. You know, I can say there weren't a lot of changes, you know, as, you know, many years ago when like Ebola was coming around and some of those other things. We've never had anything of this scale that I was, you know, I've been a part of. So, you know, and of course, most people haven't. So I do just want to remind people that, like, I'm going to do the best that I can with what we've got here. But, you know, it's really important that you're kind of questioning things and paying attention to things for yourself, getting as many different sources as possible. There's been some really good podcasts and interviews already that have come out, and there will continue to be good stuff. Keep learning. Just keep learning, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
That's my caveats, I guess, my understandings.
and the thing about the seriousness of it is we're in an industry where we know that perception is 9/10 the reality. Mm-hmm. Even if you personally don't feel it's serious, your customers are. And that makes it a reality you have to deal with.
Yeah.
At the very least, you have that.
Yeah.
So, anyways, so, Japes, you are the actor trainer, actor recruiter extraordinaire, the acting coach, the actor's actor.
You're building me up way higher than I can actually meet here. You got it.
Well.
You gotta tone that down.
Okay. But anyways, one of the main things everyone is wondering right now is this is kind of the midst of recruitment season for a lot of haunts, especially the bigger ones. They would normally start the recruitment campaigns now, but obviously the days of the giant cattle calls where you get hundreds of people to some warehouse or to some back room in your haunt, those ain't the day. So, James, help these people out.
How do you do this?
How do we do this?
So I think the first thing is it starts with, before you even start looking for new people, there's a lot of things you need to consider. And one of the big things is, like, before you start this, you got to know how many actors you're actually going to need. You know, in the past, if you've run a room with 3 or 4 people in it, that may not be a safe choice to do this year. You may not want as many actors in a room. You may want less. And this is where I have a really hard time with this right now, is because I've always believed in a buddy system. I don't believe in a room being being staffed by less than 2 people, because if something happens, then you're all alone. So I don't like rooms with only 1 person in it. But at the same time, I also don't want to see, you know, 2 people in a room that's 6 by 6 feet. You know, then you're on top of each other. So, you know, think about the size of your room. You know, I don't want to talk a lot about house design. That's being covered by other people, and it's not something I know a lot about. But you do have to consider, you know, how many people you're going to have in close proximity, how many contact points you have that those actors are going to be responsible for cleaning, which we'll come back to later. But, you know, you've really got to have a really hard number in your head of how many people you actually need. Because that all kind of comes back to, like, do you even need to recruit this year? You know, if you had a staff of 50 people from last year, then you know that maybe 40 of them are coming back this year, right? You know you're going to lose some. Probably, you know, you'll probably lose about 10 that can't commit the same way, at least, you know. Do you still need 40 people to run your show? Jonathan, you brought up a really awesome idea last week that I really liked a lot. You had brought up the idea of doing more days, which then allows for multiple shifts. So if you have a crew of 80 and you expect that you're going to cut that down because you don't want as many people in the rooms, then you can keep that crew of 80, but you stretch it out over the week, and some people work on Monday, Tuesday, and then other people work on Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, however you want to set up the schedule. But I thought that was a really cool idea of knowing that you're going to be limited in how many people you can put through every night, and do more nights. you know, I don't know how that's going to work, but I thought it was a really great idea. So I guess that's the first thing, is just know how many people you're going to need, really understand your staffing, because that's going to then determine whether you need to recruit at all. I guess that kind of goes into another point, and I'm kind of skipping in the notes. So,
hey, they're your notes.
Yeah, right. We'll jump around. We'll hopefully get them all then. I hope I don't lose them. I'm going from A to E, folks. asking that question, do you really want to recruit new actors this year? My thinking and my concern with this is logistics are going to be really, really, really important this year. Honestly, probably more so than performances, because you need to be able to get people in the door, get them through makeup, and still keep that distance between your actors. We all know what the haunt plague is. We all know that the haunt ick goes around at haunts every year. Now we got something that's even more infectious and more destructive. So, you know, you have to be far more on point with all your logistics, and we'll go into that in a little bit. But the point is, your experienced actors understand the flow. They understand the logistics better. You don't need to spend as much time training them on the basics, because they already know it. They already learned it last year or in the past. So I seriously question how much you want green, completely inexperienced people who have never done haunts trying to get into it this year. Because this year is going to be a weird-ass year. It's going to be a weird year, even for veterans, you know?
Yeah, it definitely is. Good point. That's a really good point. Yeah.
You made a point in your notes that I like, and that is there's going to be higher turnover this year amongst actors. A, people are going to have additional, you describe them as housekeeping duties, but like cleanliness and things that you have to do around the hall. That extra burden is going to cause some extra turnover. But also, just some people are going to, maybe they'll start working but realize halfway through they don't feel comfortable. Or maybe they're just not going to come back at all this season because they're not comfortable. Mm-hmm. So do anticipate that turnover. But as you noted, that may not be a big deal, since it's very likely you're going to be operating at half or even lower staff.
Mm-hmm. I've heard numbers between 40 and 50%. I think Alan Hopps and Kelly Collins kind of threw out numbers in terms of what they expect. And I don't know the business end of things like they do. You know, I don't run my own haunt, so I don't have to, I don't know numbers. But they talked about, you know, anywhere between 40 and 50% down on your attendance. And if that's the case, then you have to also make adjustments to your spending. And one place to cut it is in who you pay for your crew. I hope you're paying your crew. At least some stipend, at least some amount. In order to cut some of that cost, that's a place to cut some cost, is to not have as many actors. Like you said, the housekeeping duties, right? Like, if you are having actors also have to sometimes clean the room, go wipe things down and sanitize, that's going to put a tremendous burden on the actors, because they're not able to just stay in their headspace. They're not able to just be their character. They have to then switch it and make sure that they're cleaning well. And of course, we want them to stay in character when they're doing it, but there's some characters it doesn't make any sense why a zombie would be sweeping up the place, would be mopping up the place and cleaning the place. So some people are going to get turned off by that. They're going to be like, this is more, I spend more time cleaning my room than actually scaring people. So you're going to lose people for that, or unless you compensate them. Now you're putting new responsibilities on your actors. Now we're not just asking you to stay in there and scare people, but now we're also asking you to clean the place constantly. How are you going to compensate
them? And it also, that's something that you could do to minimize the actors having to clean, is minimize the touch points for customers. Certainly. So that customers aren't touching as much. So then they're just cleaning what they touch, the actors themselves.
And honestly, the actors should be cleaning the crap they touch anyway, to be honest.
Yeah.
Actors are disgusting. And I say that as an actor.
No, we are a
disgusting, filthy lot.
When Trans World was coming up before they had actually canceled, all I kept thinking is, I'm going to have to be Brewster at Trans World. Like, how do I not, like, lick things? And how do I not, like, eat garbage out of the garbage can? Like, how do I not do those things? That's part of the character. It's part of what he does. And I just knew. But, you know, at the same time, I'm like, I think this thing is serious. You know, at that time, I was starting to get clued into this COVID thing. And I was like, I don't know. I think this might be serious. And I have a feeling it's going to be a really bad look when you've got actors licking the railings just to make a point, you know? I think when you think about some of, like, the more extreme stuff that people do, it's going to be really hard for people to turn that stuff off, you know? And they can't do it. You can't do that, you know?
Right. All right. So is Brewster going to have a mask now?
I'll be completely honest. I, as of right now, I seriously doubt that Brewster's going to have a season at all. I seriously doubt that I'm going to have a season at all. I talked to my partners at Lost Souls, and, like, the idea of putting 40 people on a bus right now sounds like a really awful idea. And then in terms of
recirculated air.
We were pretty close
with our seat buddies.
Oh yeah. No, like that's part of the fun of it is that, you know, we're all kind of crammed in and
don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
They're very comfortable buses.
Yeah.
But it is assholes and elbows in there.
Yeah. It's tight. It's tight. And that's part of the fun. I don't want, as of right now, I can say it's way too risky, and there's no way if we were running tomorrow, there's absolutely no way we would be running the tour tomorrow. I'm not going to cram 40 people into a bus together. And in terms of me just acting, I've got some other things going on that may prevent me from doing that. We'll see. You know, as of right now, I'm playing very, very safe.
No. Yeah. So that deals a lot with the recruitment question. Another thing haunts are doing this time of year is trying to, you know, keep up, basically keep in touch with. You're seeing a lot of the haunt build days in this time of year. You're seeing a lot of the first haunt get-togethers. You know, there's usually that break time between, like, November into spring. But now crews are trying to get back together. That's when the run-up. That's also not happening.
No.
Well, I know that, like, some of the haunts around here, you know, there are people that have been working at the haunt. Some of the crews for some of the haunts here have been quarantining together. Like, that's literally what they've been doing. I know a couple of guys that are pretty much living at a haunted house right now. And they have been quarantining together this entire time. But in terms of, like, bringing up, you know, the rest of the crew in and stuff, I'm erring very much on the side of caution here. I think right now is not a good time to do that. That being said, like, we want to keep people engaged. We want to still be together. And so I think, things like virtual game nights are really important things you can do with your crew. You know, get on Board Game Arena and play some board games on there. Most of them are free. Do whatever you can to get together and be social. I know Tater has been doing a ton of live stream gaming together with people. He might be a good person to talk to about, like, some of the stuff that he's doing. I know he's got a friend who just made a game and he's been playing that. So doing those types of things. I think it's tricky. I think it's really tricky because if you've got a large crew, you can't do a 100-person Google Hangout or something like that. You can, but it's very chaotic and not very productive. So I think that's definitely tricky. But you should certainly be one thing I really hope all haunts are doing right now is updating for you know, keeping their crew up to date about what's going on at the haunt. You know, are they, you know, are they doing builds? Who's up there building? Who's allowed to come build? What are the plans for the season? You know, you should already have some safety and security plans, in place. I know Fear Fair and Dent already released their COVID plans for the public. So, you know, the crew can see, like, this is what they're doing. We're already planning. They're already being thoughtful about this. And they're really going to be, you know, try to be as safe as possible. So, you know, but make sure that you're, you know, meeting in small groups with your teams, again, like virtually, meeting virtually with your teams, and having conversations about whatever, and check in on each other. You know, there's a lot of people in the haunt community tend to have, they need additional support. They need additional support. So yeah. Being able to check in and make sure people are okay. You know, I know that there have been, you know, a lot of increases in domestic violence, a lot of increases in suicide and suicide calls. Like, people are struggling from this. So, you know, check in on your crew, see how they're doing, make sure everybody's okay. And that goes a long way. That goes a long way that they know that you care about them, that you're thinking about them. And that's going to, you know, but also let them know, if you're scared about this thing and you are not comfortable with coming in this year, that's okay. You know, you've got to create a culture of acceptance and really snuff out. One thing that I'm very afraid of is crews that start, don't be a wuss. Come on in. You got to come out and you got to work at the haunted house. This is no big deal. You know, you've licked doorknobs. You're immune to this, you know, that type of stuff. You got to cut that crap out immediately and just let people know, like, if you're not comfortable coming here because you're worried about your health, then take the season off. You know, here are the precautions that we're putting in place, but take the season off. You know, that's okay. So I think yeah. It's really important that you're talking with your crew already, letting them know what you're doing, letting them know, what the season is looking like. My job, my real life job already told us that we're not going back into the office until September. And like the weight that took off of everybody's shoulders, knowing that they weren't going to be forced to come back into the office before September, was huge. It was absolutely huge. And it was great for morale. Everybody feels a lot better. Some people are ready to get into the office now, but other people are not coming back till September. So, you know, let people know that that's okay. Yeah, that's my spiel on that.
Oh, we got a lot to get through and not a lot of time to get through it, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
This is very typical. As is typically the case, usually we wind up splitting these into two podcasts at some point.
Yeah.
So, but we can haunt preparation.
Yeah, that's prep. Let's talk about prep. Do you have an employee handbook? If you don't, you should. Now more than ever. You have to have COVID preparation plans. I can tell you this. This is just coming from a parent perspective, right? If my child wanted to work in a haunted house this year, and she wanted to work in a haunted house, and she came home and couldn't tell me what they're doing to keep the place safe from coronavirus, she's not going to work there. That's it. She's not going to be there. So just from that perspective, but also just from a professionalism perspective, you're running a business. You should have an employee handbook.
Agreed.
And one thing we'll get into that in a minute. Actually, I think I'll jump right into that. So I came up with this crazy concept around that, because we've handed out handbooks and, you know, we always have people sign, you know, that they received their handbook and that they looked at their handbook. And then a week later, they're coming to us with questions about pay, or they're coming to us with questions about, who do I let know if I'm sick? And I'm like, well, it was in the handbook. So I know you didn't read the handbook. You just signed it and said you did. But again, in this year, logistics have got to be tight. People have to be able to move in and move out quickly. And in the right order. And And I think we'll talk a little bit about that too, in terms of, you know, actor check-in and all that fun stuff. So one of the things that one of the ideas I came up with was, in order to work this year, do a haunt certification course. This can all be done online. It can be done virtually ahead of time. And basically, it's going to be all the logistics of your show. So things like actor check-in. Okay, when do people check in? Is everybody going to be coming there at the same time? Are they all going to be waiting in the same area? I know in the past, like, that's how I've always run a show, is you come in and you stand and you gather and we assign you your spot, and then you go and you get in another line and you get your costume, and then you get in line for makeup. And we're always in really, really tight quarters and really large groups. You don't want that this year. You're going to want to stagger that. You're going to want to possibly do staggered start times. This crew comes in at 4:30. They, you know, we'll keep them separated. This crew comes in at 5. This one comes at 5:30, and you got to stagger that. You know, is your makeup area large enough to keep everybody separated? But then also still keep up with the workload. That's the other thing, is like, I'm not going to speak about how to organize a makeup room. That is not my bread and butter, and I don't know. but I know you got to think. I know you got to think about it, and I know that you've got to have somebody who really understands the safety and the cleanliness of a makeup area in general, plus the additional COVID impact.
Right. Yeah, and I know that one of our friends who's a haunt actor for us is a barber, and what they've done is they've put plastic dividers between each of their chairs.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That might be something to look into.
Yeah. Yeah, it really seems like this year you're going to need that, you know. There is, I think Alan Hopps was the first person I saw share it. There's a Barbicide certification, which is, hair styling and makeup people and all that. And you can go through the certification course for free online. I know, I believe he said he was going to have all of his makeup people have to take it. I think if we're starting to get to the point where we feel like our makeup people need to be certified, then I think it's important that we also have our actors be certified again. and if they go through the certification course, and it can be done online through videos, it can be done online through little quizzes and tests. Google Classroom is excuse me. There's a great resource, which has recently been made within the past 2 years. I don't know when they actually did it, but it is free to the public to use. You can create a course on just about anything and share it with whoever you want to share with. Another one that's good is, I meant to put it into the notes, and I think I forgot to. Ed Puzzle is a really great resource. Ed Puzzle allows you to annotate on videos, so you can take YouTube videos and put in stopping points where it will ask questions and the people have to answer the questions before the video goes on. So you can do video tutorials and then pause it, have them answer some questions to make sure that they're not just watching the video and letting it run. So you're keeping them engaged and you're making sure that they actually are doing it. It's a really great tool to use. So that would be another thing to think about, to make sure that, again, that they are getting, they're understanding what's in the handbook. They're learning all the logistics. They're learning all those pieces, rather than just getting the handbook and tossing it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go too much into costuming and makeup because it's still, again, definitely not my wheelhouse. As of right now, actors should be wearing PPE masks. My big concerns for that, I have a very large nose. Masks are horrible for me. I don't wear, scary masks because they're very, very uncomfortable for me. And I found the same thing with a lot of the PPE masks. I wear them when I'm in public, for sure. But, God, the idea of sitting for 8 hours, definitely in a haunt, running around. I think it was... Chris Gay was talking about it. Chris Gay has got a real, he's been talking about some great tips, some really, really great tips about the safety and things really, you know, haunt-wide stuff that you should be keeping in mind. He's been talking about some great stuff. But he was talking about going out mowing the yard wearing his mask, and by the end of it, he was, like, having a hard time breathing. So the masks aren't designed to run and jump and scream and yell and do the things that we do in a haunt. They're designed to, like, quietly do surgery. So so make sure you're testing those. Make sure you can breathe. And the other thing that I know Jared Howell has been bringing up a lot is you should not be spraying alcohol-based makeup on PPE masks. I found an article that, you know, validating that. Talking about the fact that the alcohol breaks down, basically there's like static that helps, there's electrical charges that helps to filter out the particles. And when you spray it with alcohol, it actually destroys that. So, you know, if you're spraying the masks, you're actually destroying the masks.
Yeah.
Are we still recording? Is everything good?
We're recording. Cat decided it wanted to be on the podcast. Unfortunately, yeah. we have a one guest per episode policy. So Snowball will be joining us next week. For his field of expertise is pooping in the bathtub. I'm pretty sure it's about it. The cat's an expert.
Yeah.
All right. Oh God.
And then I guess the final thing to kind of talk about is in terms of your content. Like I know like. Haunts are pushing in terms of boundaries and stuff. And I know that some haunts, like, that's kind of your whole spiel, right? Like, we're edgelords and we push really far and we're offensive and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think it's a bad idea to make COVID jokes this year or any kind of references to it. You know, people tend to come to haunted houses because they want an escape. They want to get away from the reality. Plus, people are losing friends and family. Like, it's not just people getting sick that you don't – like, you may not personally know anybody. I can say I know about three. You know, so, like, people are losing friends and family to this. So making a joke about it is probably not going to be received very well. And if you are one of those edgelord haunts this year, you know, try not to. Try not to. Maybe that's, you know, I guess when you get into some of those red states, that's what they want. But I can tell you in Chicago, it's not going to be a really good idea to make those jokes.
Yeah, I would also say, you know, doctor's offices with patients coughing on you and things like that aren't going to be welcome either.
Yeah. No. And one of the challenges, like, we base all of our stories on New Orleans history. Mm-hmm. And so New Orleans has had a lot of goddamn plagues.
Yeah.
Pretty much the entirety of New Orleans history is bouncing from plague to plague to plague. What's killing everyone this week?
Yeah.
It's basically the theme of New Orleans. And so much of the history comes from that, and that's all stuff that we have to put to one side for now and find. Luckily, New Orleans had a lot of other terrible things happen to it, too, that we can still base our stories on.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, our general rule is we don't do anything that took place within the last 50 years.
Yeah, we're certainly not going to do something that's still ongoing.
Exactly.
Right. It's
certainly not still ongoing. I think the nearest thing we did was we did one on based on Hurricane Betsy, which was in the 60s. I think that's as close as we've gotten.
Yeah.
And it turns out, like I said, New Orleans' history is rich with terrible stuff, so we're not wanting for new subject matter without, you know, even with the blockades on these topics. It's, yeah, New Orleans is weird, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's a great place. I love it.
It is. It's a place that can only be built amongst all the natural disasters, man-made disasters, and other kinds of disasters that have hit it.
That's, you know, again, I think people, you know, it's funny because I think about, like, some of the big boys, right? Like the mega haunts that, like, you know, I had the great fortune of going to Netherworld last year and I was absolutely, it was opening night and they did several thousand people, I'm sure. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And it was well worth it. Like having gone through, I was like, oh yeah, now I understand why they get the reputation that they do.
But we went through the last year, their old location. It was, awesome.
Okay. Yeah, and I get, but the thing is that's very interesting about Netherworld, and I've seen it at other haunts. 13th Floor does it a lot. Hell's Gate does it to some degree as well. Is very much like they're not trying to be edgy. They're not trying to be offensive. The actors aren't there trying to shock you and to like push as far as they can. And because of that, it opens them up to a larger audience. And like, I mean, I'm all for haunts having different kinds of shows, and I love edgelord shows. Yeah. I love shows that are really push the boundaries, you know, Dream Reapers. That was what we were all about, was how far can we push this thing? I can tell you there were people on the crew that were comfortable with going a lot further than I was. and I think, the thing is, when you do that, you the more you do that, the smaller your audience gets, the more you get targeted to a niche audience. And like, GWAR is my favorite band. I love GWAR, but I don't ever expect GWAR to be played on the radio. I don't ever expect GWAR to have a mainstream appeal, nor do they. They never wanted that.
No Grammy for GWAR!
Exactly. So like, just know that about your show. Like, don't think that because... You know, understand that when you're pushing like that, it's going to limit your audience. And if you don't limit, if you are more family friendly, if you are more, you know, PG rated, it's going to help your numbers. That's what the big guys do, and still put on good shows. I that doesn't mean they're watered down. It just means that they're doing something different.
And that's just it. Having gone to Netherworld and a lot of those mega haunts, and I would also say 13th Gate too here in Baton Rouge, and all that. They're also not the scariest. They're not going all on scare. They're spectacles. They are events. They are, they are scary. They can be very scary, but they are not, that's not their target, is to be the most scary they can. They're targeting to be the most spectacle, and that's, I think, what a lot of haunts could learn from. I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know, like, Hell's Gate talks about take the adventure. That's what it is. It's supposed to be an adventure. It's not incredibly scary. There are scary moments and there are scary things, but is it like, you know, super intense? No, it's not, but it's a lot of fun. And I go there every year and I will continue to go there every year. Yeah. I love the show. You know, Netherworld, I couldn't believe how many startles they actually managed to get on me, but that's because you're looking around and it's like, oh, this is what Halloween looks like. Yes. In my brain, this is what Halloween looks like.
Netherworld is textbook, both a spectacle, like you said, just getting you to look around and take it in, but also distracting the startle haunt tactics. They are a master class in tactics.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yes. Yeah. And they took a lot of props that I already knew and tweak them and change them or add something before or after that, like I'm looking at it going, oh yeah, there's that Scare Factory prop or there's that thing. And then all of a sudden it does something different than what it's supposed to, or they have something hidden so cleverly near it that I'm totally blindsided. So, just remember that, like if your show is an edgelord show, if you're all about being edgy and being over the top, this could be a harder year for you because I don't think a lot of people are going to want that. You know, I could be totally wrong.
Maybe. I mean, it's an unpredictable year.
Right.
All right.
So let's get into training.
This brings us to the final point. Yeah, I was about to say training. We got about 15, 20 minutes left, but training. Japes, this is your bread and butter. Take it away.
Yeah. So I guess, let's start kind of from the beginning here, and that's, to me, I've said it several times, and I'm going to continue to say it. There's so much that needs to be covered in terms of logistics, and that means you have to think through that whole process. And this is something that gets ignored all the time. You have got to be sure that you know exactly when actors are getting there. Where are they going to? How are you handling their costuming? Who's cleaning the costumes every night? Is somebody cleaning the costumes every night? They probably should be. You know, again, Alan Hopps was talking about they have, you know, industrial laundry machines at their haunt so that they can do those the laundry every night. You know, I know, again, other haunts, there's several other haunts that I know of that have laundry on the premises. Somebody's got to do that. And, you know, you've got to have all these jobs clearly laid out, a very clear plan in place of how people are getting in, how people are getting to their costumes, how they're, where they're changing into their costumes, how many people are going to be able to be in the bathroom at the same time, if that's where they're changing, how many, you know, how many actors are going to be in at a given time? How do you stagger that and make sure that people are as separated as you possibly can? Because again, we see the haunt ick, the haunt plague, whatever you like to call it. We see it every single year. So why are we thinking that we're not going to see COVID hit a haunted house? I mean, it's unless it's completely eradicated by October, we're going to see it happen, and we're going to see crews that are not, or haunts that are not putting these precautions in place, we're going to see entire crews wiped out. Entire crews, everybody getting the same thing. You've seen them get the haunt plague, so they're going to get this. So you got to be as clean as possible, as tight as possible. I've seen haunts make it through the season without getting haunt ick, so it can be done. But you got to have your logistics extremely, extremely tight. So that means training has to start as soon as you possibly can. Do remote training. You've got Google Classroom. Again, great way to set up an entire course of all the different pieces that people need to know about. You can have videos. You can embed videos in there. You can have people watching those videos. Edpuzzle is a great free resource. Remember, friends, I always only share free stuff, by the way. I never share anything you have to pay for because I was a teacher, so I am extremely cheap. So Edpuzzle is free. Google Classroom is free. Then you've got video conferencing platforms, Zoom, Google Hangouts, Facebook Messenger, Skype, whatever you need. Those are great things for keeping the team updated and connected, but they're not great for training in terms of like actual acting. Haunt acting just doesn't translate to video well. It's very rare that I see a haunt actor performance on video that I go, wow, that's really good. but because it's so much about the atmosphere and what you bring into it that if you don't have that feeling around you, a lot of times the acting just looks silly. But it's great for, you know, again, for explaining the theory behind why you're doing the things that you're doing. It's great for, you know, the logistic, you know, looking at logistics. I have one video that I've used for years of a walkthrough of a home haunt. And, you know, I always preface it with like, this is a home haunt who just takes people in the neighborhood. It's done for fun. The acting is not top quality. Not to say that there are haunts that are doing top quality acting. I can say that. I know home haunts that are doing top quality acting. But this was a particularly poorly acted home haunt. And we watched that as more of a video of what not to do. Like, here are things that people do as rookies, and they make these mistakes. So you can look at those things. So start, I have an entire, not channel, but a playlist. An entire playlist that I've been curating for about 5 or 6 years of haunt resources, and it's everything from music to you know, professional actors. I love there's a video of Jack Nicholson getting ready for the Here's Johnny scene in The Shining. It's shared a lot by haunt actors because it's like, this is a guy getting in the zone. But there's a lot of really good stuff there. So start building up those playlists, you know. Build up those playlists and share them with your crew. That's all stuff that you can do remotely. You can be doing that now. You can be doing that year round. You can be sharing videos. Even if you're taking a video from your playlist and sharing one video a week to get people talking and thinking and engaged in what this particular video is about and what they get from it, then you're constantly facilitating learning. You're constantly facilitating thinking. You're constantly facilitating growth in the haunt. So this is something you can do all the time. A lot of my stuff, folks, this is stuff you can do whether COVID is happening or not. So then, like, once we actually start getting into the haunts, we start being able to be around. This is going to be a really big year to really use shadowing and partner work. So what I mean by that is make sure you're putting your most experienced people with the less experienced people. And honestly, they don't the less experienced people don't even have to work at full capacity at first. They just need to sit back and look at the good, at the people that you know and trust. These are the people that are able to maintain the social distance, but still be able to get a scare, that are able to read the audience and be able to know, when do I need to back off? When do I not? One thing I don't think I've mentioned yet, but, I think it was, Jim Warfield brought it up on Haunter's Hangout. What are you going to do about the drunken, customers that want to pull your mask off, Like, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I'm more, honestly,
it is.
Right? We're going to be the professional haunts, the people that really, really, really care about this, that take this seriously. We are going to be out there making sure our show is as tight as we possibly can. And we're going to make sure that we're as safe as we possibly can. But the one thing we can never, ever plan for 100% is, how is the public going to react? How are we going to deal with those drunken morons? How are we going to deal with the people who come in and go, I'm not wearing a mask, I'm in America. What are we going to do with that? We have to be thinking about those things as much as we possibly can, but also knowing that there's a lot we can't control. And I think that that's really important to keep in mind, is that this year, more than ever, if you have actors who aren't good at reading the crowd and understanding when to back off, you're in trouble. You're really in trouble. So do shadowing and partner work. That means partner people up, have the less experienced person really be focusing on what the more experienced person is doing. Don't think that by telling people they understand, showing people is a much, much more effective way to do it. So partner your really strong people with less experienced people so they can grow and learn. And then make time after whatever the scene is, whatever it is they're doing, try to make time for the two actors to come together, and the more experienced person can go, did you see how I did this, this, and this? The reason I did this and this and this is to get this reaction, So just having them watch is going to be even more effective when you partner it with some explicit instruction of, this is what I was doing.
I think that having the experienced actors doing whatever cleaning duties and showing, this is how you can do this in between or make it part of your scene or whatever is going to be important too. Because I could, I don't want to say that this system could set up abuse for the lesser actor gets to do the cleaning and the more experienced one gets to do all the fun. But I could see that happening in a couple of places.
Yeah.
And you have to be the change you want to see in your haunt.
Exactly.
Because there's the old story about Walt Disney picking up trash on the opening day of Disney World, and that seeping down through the entire staff. And next you see Cinderella picking up trash, and you see and so on and so forth. It's the same idea. You've got to start at the top of those types of changes. The owner wiping down, then no one's going to feel bad about wiping down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've always said, if you're not willing to pick up a broom, nobody else will be,
Exactly.
There have been many times where I've gotten to the haunt early and there's a little crew of people and I'm like, hey, let's all grab some brooms and we go hit the house and clean it, And I don't tell them go clean it. I pick up a broom and I go clean it with them. So yeah, you got to do that. That's a great point too.
Yeah.
Don't get into that. Okay, this is a more experienced person, so now you do whatever he says or she says. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm going to kind of skip over one piece, but I do want to just bring up rehearsing and dress rehearsals. Again, I really think that your training has to focus less on acting and more on safety and how to get reactions, from a distance. So when you do dress rehearsals, make sure you're doing fire alarms and any kind of emergency practice. See what it feels like to have to clean in between groups, that type of stuff. But definitely get into the house as much as you can. So the final piece, I guess, I want to get to, and I know some people like to just get games and activities. one thing that a lot of teachers, professional teachers, make this mistake, and it's I see the same thing in training with acting or anything else. We come up with activities, and we just do the activities, but we're not thinking about why we're doing the activities. So one thing to remember is always set your learning objectives first. What is it that your crew, what do you think your crew needs to learn the most? What do they need to know? Mm-hmm. And the main learning objectives I would set for a crew this year are social distancing, and really, like, what is 6 feet? And then miming and body work, because it's going to be a lot harder to talk with those masks on. So using your body, and then finally reading that crowd. How do you read the crowd? How do you get to know when to anticipate a problem, if you should anticipate a problem? Those are the three main things I would go really, really hard on this year. So going with that, some activities, and we can share these on the page later if you want, so you can go more in depth, because I know we're getting close to the hour here.
I was also going to ask real quick, what do you think about miking actors? I was thinking about this last week, because it is going to be hard to hear through the mask.
Mm-hmm. I really feel like this is going to be a year where a lot of haunts move away from any kind of vocalization, any kind of dialogue for that purpose. Miking, the only thing I don't like about it is it's disembodied, right? Like, you know, it's not coming from that person. You know, that was one of the big beefs that I had with the intro of a very popular haunt here, who I love very much. But, like, you know, the actor was clearly just miming while a program was playing, you know? And when you have that disconnect, it adds a level of hokiness and a level of cheesiness to it. So I think if you're doing it, make sure you're really being thoughtful about how you're doing it. And you're really looking at, like, is it okay if this is a little hokey? Or, like, if this is an intro room, then okay, yes, it needs to be loud and it needs to be big. That's fine. But if it's just, like, in a random room, or, like, it's in every room, it's going to feel, again, very disembodied, I think. Okay. So, yeah. But I think I definitely see the value in it, but I also think there's some hokiness in it. So then, in terms of games and activities, so one thing that I think you got to really remember is we've got a lot of kids who don't know what 6 feet really is. A lot of people, like, don't understand how far 6 feet is. So I think doing activities around that idea of how far is 6 feet is really important. These are things I just was kind of spitballing, and I played with one of them that worked pretty well. But I haven't been able to test all of them. But one would be like the 6 foot race, where you're having people run to a designated spot, but then they have to stop six feet before they get there, just to kind of give them an idea of what it is. And then you come out with a tape measure and you measure it and show who's closest and who did the best. Another one would be 6 foot mirror. So the idea with this is to line up against across from a partner. One person is kind of like the actor, or really the customer, while the other one is the actor. And that customer is going to do things, and the actor has to follow those movements. But if the actor, the customer moves forward, the actor has to move backwards. So they always, whether they're moving forward or backwards, they're always maintaining 6 feet. I've played with this. It feels really weird going backwards when somebody is going forwards, because your natural inclination is to, like, mirror them and to move closer. So that was kind of weird. The other piece with that is when you're kind of playing it the first time, don't let that customer character back the actor against the wall, because their tendency is going to be like, oh, I'm just going to keep moving forward, and I'm going to trip this person up, and I'm going to screw them up, and I'm going to move them all the way back to the wall, and then they're going to have nowhere to go. The first time you do it, it's really just to practice staying 6 feet away, but being as close as possible without breaking that wall. The second time, play it where they can put them up against the wall, because then that's going to show people how to move and get away from trouble. So that could be a fun game. Another one is a 6-foot tag. So the person who's it carries a 6-foot pool noodle, and they have to try to tag people with the noodle.
No Haunter has a pool noodle.
You know what? That's kind of why I thought about it. I was like, pool noodles are kind of like essential building materials for most haunts. So you got to have them, right? So there's something like that, you know. Going into body movement exercises, charades is always fun. Can't talk, but you got to communicate what you are. So play charades. I put a list here. You can put it in the show notes. I just Googled, Halloween charades ideas, and this is the first thing that came up. This will give you some things, some topics, some ideas to use for charades. But again, the idea is to communicate without your voice. I always do exercises with my class whenever I do my 101 class where we're doing body movement exercises. I just pick some different body types and let people play with it. So it would be like slow and stupid, so typical zombie. You know, slimy. I like to just kind of leave it open. Slimy, what does that look like? I kind of use that to build, like slow and stupid is more the Romero zombie. Slimy is that zombie from Return of the Living Dead, Tarman. If you've ever seen it, he's one of my favorite zombies, but he's very slimy and he kind of, you know, does a lot of moving, like his body, his spine is like on a swivel.
Real fast, have you seen the actor that did that out of makeup?
I have not.
The actor is like, he's a huge tall guy, but weighs like 130. He's like a literal beanpole. Look up the photos of him. He is scary thin, and you can see how he can get those creepy movements of that body type. It was amazing.
I think that's to me, that's one of the telltale signs of an actual good actor, is if they can be a zombie and they actually think about how to play their character, that tells me that they're automatically a good actor. And like that guy thought about the fact, okay, I'm crammed into this oil barrel. I've been stuck in this toxic oil barrel thing for however long. My spine is probably all twisted. So when I come out of it, my spine is going to be like on a swivel, and that's how he moves. And with the costume and the makeup, where he is really slippery and slimy and drippy, and he's making this slimy movement, like it comes across, like it comes across very clear. So slimy is a fun way to play and kind of see what people do with it. Stalking, you know, like you're stalking after somebody, and then I always build that next into like a wild animal, which a lot of times, you know, has people moving around like wolves or beasts or something. One of my favorites when we did this was my one of my favorite actors that I've worked with in many years. This guy Coop was this big dude that like was perfect in like a gorilla costume, but trying to ask him to get down on all fours and act like a werewolf was just not something he could do physically. And so what he did was he took it and he was like, okay, you want me to be a wild animal? And he just turned it into a gorilla and was like running across the room with his, you know, with his arms above his head and slapping his head the whole way. It was beautiful. It was one of my favorite takes on that character ever. Drunk or stoned, you know, if you can use that unpredictable movement, that's a good, a fun thing to do. Be extremely hyper. And then another one that I like to do, and this does go more, it ends up with a lot of screaming, is intense internal pain. So these are all just body movement exercises you can do with your crew. Show me whenever I build up the intense internal pain thing, I say, all right, let's imagine that you wake up in the middle of the night, you're really thirsty, and so you go to the kitchen and you go into the fridge and you're half asleep and you grab a jar of water and you drink it, and then you go, oh no, that was the hydrochloric acid that I left in my fridge. Now you're drinking hydrochloric acid, so you're freaking out because the hydrochloric acid is going through you. So you grab a handful of glass and you just start eating it, because everybody knows that glass neutralizes hydrochloric acid. So now you've got acid and glass going through your body. Show me what that looks like. It's a fun activity to do that gets people doing a lot of fun stuff. It also shows them don't go to 100 right away, because I always make them continue screaming and writhing on the floor in pain way longer, and they're all exhausted by the time they're done with that. But again, great body movement stuff. That's the whole point of all that. Finally, and I know I'm moving fast here, what are they wearing? This is an awareness activity. This is you don't let them know that this is the game. You just have them partner up, stand 6 feet apart, and then have them turn around and decide who's going to go first. Usually I pick like the taller person. The taller person has to then describe the other person as best as they can, as many details as they can. They get a point for every accurate detail. And then usually what I do is after the activity, I have them turn around. They say the things, they count their points, and then I ask who got 4 points, who got 5 points, who got 6 points, and kind of do that. And it's an honor system, but the idea is you need to be able to look at people really quick and be able to remember as much about them, read them as quickly as you possibly can. This is great for security as well. This is a really important exercise to just get people aware. And then the final thing, I've got 3 links that you can share. De-escalation techniques. Somebody brought it up recently, and I kind of kicked myself. I've been through nonviolent crisis intervention training for a job that I used to do. I was certified for 4 years, but those training techniques have always stuck with me, and I've always used them. And so I think, if you can get these techniques, if you can get this type of training, it's going to be really, really helpful for you, because we're going to have some crazy ass customers, and we have to be able to intervene. We have to be able to deal with that. So you can share the notes and you can share the links in the show notes and people can take a look at those. So I know I went through these quickly, but I know we're also running low on time.
And we're pretty much out. But I'll say this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add your links to the COVID page. I'm going to create a new section for it, for training, for a haunt training and recruitment links, and provide all the stuff you gave us in the show notes. I think that's the best way. It gives it a permanent home. And since the links and show notes aren't necessarily BFF sometimes, this just gives it a good home.
Yeah,
so totally. I'll put them in there.
And people who are listening, if you want more explanation on some of this stuff, or I went too quickly, I don't know if anybody was able to get questions in on Facebook today. If people have questions or anything, you can share my email. I'm also on Facebook. I'll go ahead and do my plugs really quick so that we can get that out of the way. Yeah, you can find me on Facebook.
It takes me. I know you're always quoting you.
Facebook, you can find me, Japes Palace. You can check out our bus tour, Lost Souls Chicago, at lostsoulschicago.com or Lost Souls Chicago on Facebook. You can email me if you want. If you have questions, you can email me directly, at lostsoulschicago@gmail.com. If you want to message me through Facebook, whatever, I've spent many nights just kind of chatting with people who have questions. So if you have questions, please do feel free to reach out. If you have any suggestions, I also want to hear them, because I'll share them with my other actor friends and actor management friends, because we want to make sure that it's just a safe, great season for everybody, So if you can't do it right, please don't do it. But if you are going to do it, make sure you're doing it right.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. And Derek Seltzer said hello.
Hi, Needles.
Well, on that note, everyone, we got to wrap up, unfortunately. But thank you very much for spending the past hour with us. Japes, thank you for spending the past hour spreading your wisdom.
Yes.
And helping us understand better these issues and giving us some great ideas. Once again, the links Japes provide, I will put that in the COVID-19 page. That's hauntweekly.com/COVID-19. There will be a section for training-related links. That's where these are going to go. And also on that page is a bunch of great virtual tours, stuff that you can do right now on your sofa, quarantined away. It's a haunt and keep the haunt spirit going. Well, once again, this has been Haunt Weekly, episode number 234, talking with Japes about actor training and recruitment in the midst of all this COVID tomfoolery and chicanery that is taking place. Thank you again, Japes. You can find more Haunt Weekly at HauntWeekly.com, or Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. YouTube.com/HauntWeekly is our YouTube channel. Find us also on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. Wherever you get your podcast, we're there. So check us out. Until next time, though, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this has been Haunt Weekly, and we will see you guys next week.